They also
okay.
Yeah.
What's on sale? Houseplants on sale.
Yeah, houseplants. Some of them are on sale. Some of them aren't. We've got some succulents. I could come up with the word succulents.
Oh, okay.
We do have a good variety of different succulents. They seem to be rather popular lately.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because they're no care.
Damn.
All you do is give them some light, and if you forget to water them, well, they don't really care. They sort of hang on.
They kind of use minimal water.
Right. We're starting to put together a big old geranium pots. So we filled up couple hundred of these great big old plastic containers
mm-hmm.
with the good potting soil,
good
stuff that drains real well,
uh-huh.
and our geraniums. We got just a whole sea of geraniums.
Cool.
Because I was right in the middle of it yesterday. One of our fans gave out, so I had to go take it down and go have it repaired, put it back up. That explains all this. This owies over here. But
you got some owies on your right arm.
I kind of lost a battle with a fan, but I won.
All right, that's the most important part. You survived the engagement and were victorious.
It's working. If we don't have those proper fans running, the heat doesn't get properly distributed in the greenhouse, and our plants don't do as well. So anyway, that was all fixed up, and the bobcat broke a rack, so I had to get a new rack and replace that. I'm glad stuff is breaking now when it's at like 8 degrees outside, whatever.
This is the time for equipment maintenance.
Yeah. To fix it, yeah. So that was done this week. So anyway, we do have some good succulents, some nice selection of houseplants, so come and check it out.
Okay.
It's a good color out there. The greenhouse too. So.
It's a nice time of year just to have that a little bit of something green inside the house too.
It's a good time also to plant trees in the landscape. We have a really good selection of trees, and the trees are being dug from the growers,
mm-hmm.
so we can just get just about anything you might want. So you might check out some trees. Most shrubs could be planted now, but I don't know. I don't like to plant nandinas right now. Maybe a little bit later.
Okay.
It's getting time to cut a lot of them back. So. So some of the plants will show a little damage due to the cold that we've had and the upcoming cold this week.
I see 10, a 15, a 17, a 10, 16, a 16. Yeah, so we're
like a high school basketball team. But anyway, it's going to be a little chilly this week at night.
Yes.
So if it doesn't rain, it starts to get a little bit dry. I don't think it will, but it's going to be kind of breezy, so it might get a little bit dry. You might want to monitor your soil moisture levels.
Okay.
There are some plants that we kind of push the limit as far as their durability this far north, so you might want to check those out and see how well they're doing. As far as what's to do in the garden now, it's time to trim back.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Trim back.
Oh, trim back some damaged branches. Of course, always follow the proper procedures. Animals can cause some severe damage to plants, rabbits and whatnot. I've been to some people's house where the animals have gnawed away at their Japanese maples and things, dogwoods.
Oh, breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yummy, delicious. So if you, there are ways to control that. We have some little plastic, little snap things you can put around it and it'll protect it from the animals.
Okay.
And they're going to be rummaging around looking for something sweet to eat.
Yes, they will.
Those Japanese maples and the sugar in the bark, they just love it. So you want to protect those. Watch them, too.
Dessert for rabbits, huh?
Mm-hmm. So look closely on your valuable plants if something has happened. It's sometimes a little difficult to see any damage like that. So look a little close.
Okay.
Okay. When trimming, of course, you know, follow all the trimming procedures and all that. And try not to hack your trees. Crepe myrtles, it's kind of time to trim those back, too. A lot of people say, when do I trim back my crepe myrtle?
Well, I was expecting that call at some point this morning.
They're not actually that picky. You'll want to trim them before 1st of May, middle of May. So right now is a good time to start thinking about it. And some people just kind of cut them straight across. Well, what I like to do is trim them at different levels. Rather than just straight across,
mm-hmm.
The thicker the branch, the lower it goes.
Now we always get some dieback on crepe myrtles. So in one, I hear you say start thinking about it, but I've also heard you in other years say hold on for a while. We're not done with freezes.
As this time progresses, the chances of us having an extremely cold spell is diminishing.
Okay.
So at this point in time, you can scratch the bark of the crepe myrtle. And go all the way to the top and see if there's green down below it. And I did a few of them this week.
Mm-hmm.
Scratched some crepe myrtles. It's what I do when I wait for people to answer the door. What are you doing?
He's out there playing with my plants
again. I'm scratching your crepe myrtles. And that'll see how far back it's died in the winter. And actually, I see very little dieback this year on the crepe myrtles.
Okay.
So I think we're in really good shape as far as how they survive the winter is concerned. So trimming can be done on those right soon. Traditionally, about the middle of March, or middle of February, it's time to do that.
Okay.
All the way through the 1st of May. So it's no big rush to trim those back. But while you're not doing anything else in the garden, you might consider doing that, cutting them back. So crepe myrtles, time to do those. It's also time to trim back the clematis vines. And I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention it every week because it's something that if it's real bunchy at the top and if you want a really nice show of flowers, you might want to consider doing that. To get rid of all that clutter up on the top. So cut them back to the scaffolds.
Okay.
And they should bloom real nicely this year. Don't cut them back too low because it takes a lot of energy to reestablish all that. And the chances are your blossom show isn't going to be as good.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've got a plant that has grown, I don't care, 4, 5, 6, 7 feet from the ground level, why reestablish that much altitude?
Yeah, it'll just grow back. So you can put more energy into the flowers if it isn't just whacked way back. So cut it back. In other words, if it's on a trellis, there's some main branches that are on that. And if you cut all that extraneous stuff down to that point, then it should put on some new branches and flowers up top as well as down low.
Okay.
So you have a better stratification of blooms on it, if you can visualize that.
I think I can.
Yeah. So clematis are very hardy plants. They start growing real early in the spring, and when they grow, they just go bananas. They just grow like crazy.
Yeah.
So you want to be ahead of the game and try to get that done as much as possible. Fertilization, probably a good time to get some bone meal on your clematis vines, or maybe a little extra phosphorus or something.
Okay.
Just to give them a little phosphorus boost, so they have more colorful, bigger blooms. So probably time to do that on those also. They're just getting into the point where there's a whole lot of stuff to do.
We are just on the cusp of everything coming out.
Yeah, there are some tree species that you've kind of missed the boat on pruning, and we mentioned this last week, and those are the maple and the birch.
Right.
That's a little bit late on those. So things like oaks and all that, you can trim them at this point in time. I've got to get up into my water oak and trim out some stuff on it. It's got some branches that need to come out just for aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And just to open up the center, I do like the branching structure of this particular tree. It'd be nice to see some of that through the canopy of leaves.
Oh, sure.
So now's the time to get after that, too. So I'm almost to the point after my surgery to be able to climb a tree.
It does take a little bit of while.
It does take a little while to recover, but yeah. I'll be up there probably next week.
Okay. Sounds good. 800-749-5936, the telephone number for your calls to Larry Glass this morning, and we will continue with Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit. Brent Walker's in from United Rentals, and Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses, so we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Have you got the winter blues? Make your home feel like summer with tropical plants from Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb, as you know, is the home to the largest selection of tropical plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything, from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Smoother, faster, easier to use. That's what you expect from any update on an app for your phone. And we've delivered. Head to the Google Play Store or Apple Store to get the latest version of the KWON Radio smartphone app. News, weather, sports, and community events from KWON have never been easier to access. There's even a button now for you to sound off and tell us what you think. It's free thanks to Arvest Bank and Oklahoma Wesleyan University and available at the Google Play Store and Apple Store from KWON Radio.
Oh, 800-749-5936, a telephone number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And, of course, we always welcome caller input, caller participation. It is listener participation radio. But, Larry, I think we've got a bunch of trees we want to talk about this morning.
Sure. Let's start off with the lace bark elm.
Okay.
Lace bark elm. Oh, it's an elm tree. I don't want an elm tree.
I like the leaf.
Actually, it's an excellent tree that is surprisingly underused. The Chinese elm has a lot of traits, making it ideal for a multitude of landscape uses.
Okay. It's relatively straight-growing.
Yeah, relatively straight-growing, fast-growing. Deciduous tree, of course. Forms kind of a graceful, upright, rounded canopy of long, arching, sometimes weeping branches.
Yeah.
Which have 2 to 3 inch long, shiny, dark green, leathery leaves. Some specimens grow in typical vase-shaped form in colder regions of the country in the fall leaves. Various colors of red, purple, or yellow in the fall, depending on the weather.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a good year for fall color. Thank you, Charlie.
I'm sorry.
We really bombed down on the fall color. Thanks.
Not enough moisture at the right time, I know.
Further south here, it can be evergreen. However, one thing I like about this tree is the rather showy exfoliating bark.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot like old camouflage paint.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, it sure does. Yeah,
military camouflage with mottled patterns of gray, green, and orange and brown. So it has some textural interest to it at the eye level when it gets pretty good size too. So it's pretty good, nice. Anyway, it can get up to 80 feet in high, but more often seen anywhere from 40 to 50 feet.
There was one beside the house that I grew up in that was just always a great source of shade all summer long.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good shade specimen tree or street or parking lot tree. They look very nice planted in grove or along the street. Really, they're a very versatile plant.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about these, even though it's hot and dry and droughty, and everybody just kind of moping around in the heat, this tree just is rather robust and maintains its appearance without showing any sign of stress at all in the heat of the summer. And so as far as pests are concerned, very, very little. Pests would incorporate anything, insects, diseases, and whatnot. And it just doesn't really have any of those problems.
Okay.
So it's a very good tree to have. I've used it in some landscapes and use it in actually some commercial landscapes, and it's performed very well. There's some good examples of some really nice looking Chinese elms planted along Highway 60 at the research center, and along Highway 123 there's some we mixed in with a broad variety of trees over there planted in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And these have performed really better than most anything we planted out there. So it's a very good plant.
Good.
And it'll thrive on neglect. So it's one of my favorite trees. Now, some of my least favorite trees.
Larry's list of least favorites.
Trees I hate the most.
Okay.
Top on the list is river birch. This is a tree that's so bad I don't even sell it.
Really?
Well, we get it special order only. And it has shallow roots, and it breaks up in storms.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for a short-lived tree, and is highly subjected to ice damage, wind damage. It litters 365 days of the week with branches and things. If you want a tree that has an interesting bark, you might want to forget about the river birch and maybe consider the lace bark elm.
Okay.
Rather than that, because of its durability and insect resistance and lack of fall apartedness, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So the river birch, when it's young, is very attractive, very architectural. That's one reason why people plant these 3 feet from the house, which is absolutely ridiculous. Don't let anybody plant a river birch within 20 feet of the house.
They just branch out, go too far.
Well, that and the root system.
Yeah.
You can't, with the rather shallow, these trees are native to the river, and they have developed a shallow root system.
because the water is at 2 inches below the surface of the water?
Not necessarily. The soil in a river-based bed is anaerobic.
Mm-hmm.
And the roots cannot survive in an anaerobic situation, so they get in that layer, that zone where the soil is somewhat oxygenated, so they can take up nutrients.
Okay.
Down below a certain point to get root rot. So river birch, good trees to have off in a distance somewhere, keep it away from the house, and they're okay. But it's not my first choice.
Well, if it's the tree you hate the most, I'm sure it's not your...
It's one of them. The secondary is the silver maple.
Oh.
There are a lot of silver maples in town. They grow fast, and they develop quickly, quick shade, and they fall quickly, too. They tend to get a stem disease that when you cut them down, they have this black wood in the middle. And It's just necrosis is what it is, yeah. And they just don't live very long. And they share the same shallow root characteristic as, say, the river birch. And there are some natively growing here in the bottomland areas, which is just fine. They can grow there okay. But this one gets borers really bad, and parts of it die off, and... It's just not a good tree to have because of the root system. The sewer systems really suffer from these trees and so on. So,
okay.
not one of my favorite. And then there's cottonwood.
Oh,
yeah, you know, that stuff that plugs up your AC unit and burns it up in the summertime.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the cotton, the seeds from the cottonwood tree. So okay. This one's another shallow-rooted bottomland tree. All these trees had their place in the ecosystem, mm-hmm. and that is that they grow along the riverbank. They do a great job of controlling erosion because of their shallow root system. And all of them are very tolerant of a very wide variety of moisture conditions and so on. In other words, they're somewhat drought-tolerant as well.
Okay.
But when the drought and the heat comes, all three of these drop a lot of leaves. People think they're dying, and then they water the hound out of them.
And they drop more leaves.
They still drop their leaves. It's just a reaction to the heat. So the river birch, the silver maple, and cottonwood are all kind of low-growing lowland trees. And anyway, moving up the ladder, at least in the levels of least desirable, is the pin oak.
Oh, okay.
Normally, I don't really say much about oak trees, but the pin oak is one of my least favorite trees.
Those very small acorns.
Well, yeah, but multitudes of them.
Yes.
And this one, as they grow up, the lower branches descend. And it causes some conflicting issues with walking down below underneath them,
mm-hmm.
and mowing and whatnot. And
yes,
you have to
does.
Trim them up. And this one also gets, in the long run, it'll get the stem and anthracnose and cause some sporadic die-off of the branches. And the tree people in town are very busy cleaning up all that dead stuff, and the pin will keep it going. Once they're mature, though, when they're really big trees, they're pretty nice, but it is the shallow root system,
mm-hmm.
because it is low native to the lowland area. The shallow root system is makes it a little difficult to landscape around and to establish some grass. So, but it's a fairly sturdy tree.
Mm-hmm.
Does have a pretty good main trunk,
right.
and lateral branches coming out. But the reason why I really don't like this one is the descending branching habit, the persistent leaves in the winter. Which these brown leaves hanging.
I still have leaves on the one out in front of my house.
You can pick out the pin oaks just out the window. There's one, you know. And they share the descending branch characteristics and so on. And there's no grass growing below because the roots are shallow. So it has its place in the landscape. And it's kind of far away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And get a good set of pruners, too, when you buy one of these. A good substitute you might consider a Shumard oak. Or northern red oak. They're more desirable than these because the lower branches actually ascend rather than descend. And the northern red oak especially has a whole lot more resistance to the stem anthracnose.
Okay.
So, and the defoliate in the winter, the fall color is good on the northern red oak as well. So that might be a consideration when picking out an oak tree.
We will continue with Larry's list of least favorite trees on Green Country Gardener as we continue. Of course, always room for your phone calls, 800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400. Green Country Gardener will continue in just a moment.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
At Planet Fitness, you can get down with your judgment-free self. Now extended through January 31st. You can join for only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Planet Fitness has cardio, weights, and locker rooms that sparkle like a glass of New Year's champagne. Only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Join in-club or online at planetfitness.com. Planet Fitness, the judgment-free zone.
Located in Bartlesville at Washington and Frank Phillips. Deal ends Thursday, January 31st.
Annual membership fee applies. Participating locations only. See club for details.
Maintain your home's air quality with Filtrete Allergen Defense Air Filters from Peters True Value in Dewey. Right now, they're only $9.99. Your choice. These electrostatically charged filters help minimize microscopic particles like dust, smoke, smog, and bacteria that cause viruses. They also capture large allergens like mold spores, pollen, and pet dander, and they last for up to 3 months. Hurry in for these bargains of the month and other household necessities while supplies last at Peters True Value in Dewey.
To battle is to fight, to struggle, to overcome, and ultimately for the Marine Corps, it means to win. There is no alternative. It's not just a statement of intent. It's a promise to our nation. A promise kept for more than 2 centuries. A promise of the Marines.
The number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning with Larry Glass, as we are talking about trees this morning, and particularly the ones that Larry has on his list of least favorites.
Right. We talk river, silver maple, cottonwood, pin oak. Sounds like George Carlin in his list, but
yes.
Anyway.
Except you can say all those words.
Yeah, right. Black willow is another one.
Okay.
The Salix nigra. It's an extremely adaptable tree. Grows just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. It cracks in concrete and ditches and whatnot. And it's kind of a native growing plant. And
okay.
And when we have this cloud of cottonwood seeds in the spring,
yes.
Well, these just black willows just add to it. but anyway, the leaves, when they're really young, it looks a whole like, well, there's a weeping willow. Let me dig that up and put it in my yard. And it turns into a black willow. It doesn't weep or anything. It just kind of falls apart everywhere. So it's not one of my favorites. It's only attribute being gnawing on some of the newer leaves to relieve a bit of a headache, perhaps. Mm-hmm. The salicylic acid present
right.
in willow trees
yep.
helps help with that. But anyway, a black willow is one to be kind of avoided.
One of
the
original sources for aspirin.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yet another one is a very popular tree, actually. It's the sweet gum.
Oh, yes.
Liquid ambar styraciflua.
The little star-shaped leaves on them.
Star-shaped leaves, very attractive leaves. Excellent fall color.
Yep.
Very good branching structure. But though those gumballs. People say, why did I plant that thing?
Because you liked all those other things.
Yeah, it does have a lot of attributes. The straightness of the growth. This one sells real well mm-hmm. on the retail floor because by nature, when they're young, they just grow straight as an arrow. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to sell other trees because of their youthful crookedness. But anyway, these start out straight. And they have a really good branching structure, really. But the gumballs, which they've found actually in Tennessee, a fruitless variety mm-hmm. of sweet gum to a point.
Yeah, well, it's minimally fruitless.
Minimal fruit on it. But they all share the shallow root negative aspect. So mm-hmm. sweet gums and shallow roots just go hand in hand. They're a very tough, rugged, drought-tolerant tree. But I would consider it only if you're kind of desperate. and definitely if you don't have deep soil.
Okay.
You do get deeper roots. If you water it less, they'll tend to go further down in the to the water. And bald cypress is the same way. It's notorious for having these knees coming up seeking oxygen. Mm-hmm. But if you don't water it, it won't have a tendency to do that. So it will develop a little slightly deeper root system if you water it a little bit less. But, you know, it's a pretty good tree, very disease tolerant and so on. It does get borers on it, but it recovers nicely from borers. So,
okay.
Fall color is really good on it. So it's a pretty good. There are a lot of them used in people's right in the middle of people's front yard, under which there's no grass. If you do have a sweet gum, you really like it, and it's shallow rooted, you can put some loose soil over the top of it and trim the tree up and establish maybe some zoysia grass underneath it.
Okay.
So it will, of the least favorite list, this is probably one of the, that and the pin oak are the least favorites.
Okay.
And another one is common privet.
Oh.
Common privet is an invasive species. In the past, it was used for tall hedges and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it does tend to reseed itself very well. So you get a privet plant, you're going to have little privet babies all over the yard. And a bird is kind of like this member of the ligustrum family. Mm-hmm. And they spread their little baby privets that way by distributing the seeds.
There is a fruit sort of that grows there that the birds apparently like.
It has a purple color. These are, here, they're kind of semi-evergreen. In other words, the leaves will stay on them. Mm-hmm. If the temperatures don't get down below zero. After that, they kind of fall off, and then there's just not much to look at, like a lot of things.
Right.
There is a variety of privet called the variegated privet, which shares all the negative attributes of a regular privet, but the leaves aren't a variegated.
Oh.
But the variegation on it is not very stable. It's viral type variegation, and it if you trim it back a lot, you tend to have these splotches of green in with the variegation. So best thing is to plant this one, the variegated privet, plant it somewhere where it can be allowed to grow to its full extent. In other words, not close to the house.
Put it out there at the edge and let it do its thing.
Right. There's another variety of privet called golden ligustrum, is actually a very, very dwarf variety, and this one's highly desirable.
Oh.
Member of the privet family, as a shrub. It gets about 3 feet tall. It has a yellow golden foliage on it, and nothing bothers it.
That's on the surface sounds very good.
And it does. It gets to be nice, thick thick shrub.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's called ligustrum, just to kind of hide the privet name. A lot of people don't know that a privet is a ligustrum.
Wow.
Ligustrum vulgaris is the name of the privet. And there's a Korean ligustrum, which is a very desirable variety of a big-leafed privet or ligustrum plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it does quite well. We planted that in several cases. And there, even after the cold spell we had a few years ago, it survived that and it came out okay. It's not designed to do that, but it's done quite well in our periodic cold weather. So There are some positive varieties of privet, such as the golden one and the variegated one, but give it room to grow.
Okay.
And the Korean ligustrum, which is a type of privet, is another good desirable hedge plant. So they're not that bad. And then another tree that grows around here is called the Tree of Heaven.
Interesting.
Or Ailanthus altissima.
I don't think we've talked about that one before.
It grows anywhere in the world. These grow in Iceland. They grow in Brazil. They grow in Bartlesville, they grow in Las Vegas. I mean, they're crazy. They just grow all over the place. It is characterized, yeah, you laugh. It is characterized by a compound, rather long compound leaf, single compound leaf, that's slightly hairy. And it has, when you break the skin on it, it has a smell to it.
Hmm.
And this is the one you see growing around in cracks in concrete. It grows up and breaks it up.
Okay.
And it grows between buildings and concrete, and just in the most least desirable place, you'll find the Ailanthus tree growing.
If you don't want a tree there, it will be there. Huh?
Uh-huh. It is fairly deeply rooted, and it grows fairly quickly. And actually, some growers actually sell this one to plant, which I can't imagine why. But anyway, there are a lot better plants to put in there than the Ailanthus tree. Okay. So, we have a caller?
It's coming in on the office line.
I'll
take a break,
mind.
And we will continue with Green Country Gardener, 800-749-5936.
Have you got the winter blues? Make your home feel like summer with tropical plants from Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Green Thumb, as you know, is the home to the largest selection of tropical plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Chloe, put your helmet on.
Okay, Dad.
You work hard to protect your family, but some risks are easy to miss. Mosquito bites can spread germs that cause West Nile virus or Zika virus. Cockroaches leave behind bacteria as well as allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org, a public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get, so here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. A 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight in the trunk or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
A telephone number to get to you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning, taking your phone calls for Larry Glass. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. It is Listener Participation Radio. Larry, you've got a few more trees to get.
Yeah, we were talking about the Ailanthus altissima, or the Tree of Heaven. Now, this one, like I said, grows anywhere.
Okay.
It's a very tough tree, but it grows fast and it falls apart. I kind of like... This tree has a certain appeal to it when it's young, because it has an almost tropical appearance to it, which is a good departure from what we have around here all the time. The texture is different and all that. It's kind of interesting texturally, and it is a tough plant.
Okay.
So you want to, if you see something that has really long, it looks almost like a pecan when it's young.
Mm.
But don't let looks deceive you. Count the leaves on it. It has more than 11 on it. So it's not going to be a good plant to have around the house. So Tree of Heaven is one you want to avoid also. And this one, the locust tree.
Oh.
Yes. Actually, this is used a lot for street trees. For what reason, I don't know. It is so fraught with borers and tent caterpillars and things that it just... By the time you're most of the way through summer, it just doesn't look like much of anything.
Okay.
So the locust tree, it has its place, but the Gladesia, the Gladesia tricanthos, there's an enormous variety that has no leaf or thorns on it, and that's what's commonly grown. Shade Master locust is grown. But I find it has difficulty with wind resistance. It tends to shatter in the wind and lose a lot of its leaves in a high wind. So, and you don't see very many of them planted around because
This area, it tends to get some high winds.
High winds, and also we tend to get borer problems with it. In other areas, down south, it does quite well. It's a very good tree. But up here, the stress of the environment is hard on it. So that's kind of the short list of trees that you never see on any of my landscape. You never see them on my landscape plants, so...
Well, if you were designing something for Georgia or someplace like that, then maybe you'd choose differently. Or maybe not.
No. So, I wouldn't really. But these trees, some of them have, for windscreens, for instance, the river birch will be a good one.
Okay.
Something like, because they're aggressively growing, they grow fast. And several maple for something like their cottonwoods for... windscreen out in the middle of nowhere, they'll do just fine.
The wind will blow the cotton right on down off the tree.
Yeah, get into your well, anyway, get into your crops and not do well. So, anyway, that leads us to the shrub of the week, which is the dwarf yaupon holly.
One you frequently mention.
The dwarf yaupon holly is a very symmetrical, dense, rounded form, and it requires a very infrequent pruning to maintain its desired height. Mm-hmm. So what I like to do with this one, some people just turn it into little meatballs, if you will.
That's exactly right. I wasn't going to use meatball, but just a round ball of a shrub, yeah.
I've experimented with this one. I've got some very desirable results, appearance-wise, by just getting the electric shears or Kevin's diesel-powered hedge clippers.
Depending on how much horsepower you need.
Right. And just cutting it straight across the top.
Really?
And it maintains a low, squatty look on its own. It's rather attractive, actually. I've found that if you trim it that way. And there are different varieties of the dwarf yaupon holly, my favorite of which is the Bordeaux. The Bordeaux variety doesn't get as tall as the static or generic form of the dwarf yaupon holly. And Schilling's is a bit more compact growing, mm-hmm. and doesn't get as rather large also. And then, anyway, by pruning it properly once a year, about the middle of February or so, does quite well. And adding some iron sulfate to the soil deepens the color on the dwarf yaupon holly. The color of this particular plant is kind of an olive green, and people like a more rich color, the rich, darker color. And the Morganite fertilizer in conjunction with some iron sulfate will help darken that color. Actually, I think it lends a bit more hardiness to the plant as well, too.
Good.
It is a zone 7 plant. We're zone 6.5, so we're squeaking a little bit by planting it here. Mm-hmm. Last year, we experienced a lot of damage in the dwarf yaupons from the cold spell we had last year. Got down pretty chilly for quite some time.
Yes.
And that was associated with a lot of drought. We're not experiencing that this year, so we're not going to have any damage in the dwarf yaupons. But anyway, typically when we have cold weather associated with droughts, this plant suffers. So keeping what I mentioned every single week about keeping the mulch up and so on, and planting or watering your plants in the wintertime when it's dry, it can be real good for that. I didn't have any problems with my dwarf yaupons last winter.
Good.
Yeah, because they were watered properly and so on. But anyway, this one, the generic dwarf yaupon holly, gets 6 foot tall. And if you don't prune them, they can get up to 7 to 10 feet tall, which is about half the size of the regular yaupon holly.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. The roots produce sprouts at the edge of the canopy, so they can colonize. The generic variety of the dwarf yaupon holly can colonize like a regular yaupon holly.
Okay.
So you want to avoid just the... look at the label on the plant and get a Schilling's or a Bordeaux, perhaps, rather than just a generic dwarf yaupon holly. To stay in bounds a lot better. Mm-hmm. And there is also, getting back to that, it's kind of slow growing, so this one's kind of easy to control. It doesn't grow real fast, like Photinias or something that 5 minutes later out that you can't control them. They can... you keep them in bounds pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And I like just to shear it just real heavily once a year.
Okay. Any particular time of the year?
About the middle of February, middle of March, in that time frame, up to St. Patrick's Day or so. Even in the middle of the summer, you can cut it back. It'll grow out again. So
okay.
It's a pretty versatile plant. We've had customers having to have some work done on their house, and the dwarf yaupon hollies are in the way. I said, well, just let me cut it back. It'll come back. And from a plant that's, 3 feet around, 3 feet tall, to basically as big as your hand.
You really cut it back.
Really cut it back. They've come back. And they will. They'll return to that stature fairly, kind of like their regular yaupon hollies. I was at a house this week. They had one that's grown way out over the house and all that. I said, you can cut that to about 4 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, you can? Yeah. Yeah, and I did it to their neighbor's house next door the year previous, and it's come back. Mm-hmm. So these can be really cut back. They're very tolerant of being butchered. Or hat-racked, for that matter.
That was the term I thought was going to come out, yeah.
Yeah, so they can really be cut back really quite low, and they come back real nicely. So because of that, it's a very versatile plant in the landscape, because there's a lot of things you can do with it shape-wise. You can make little boxes or triangles or squares, whatever you want out of this thing, and it makes
kind
of
trim it like Mickey Mouse. No, never.
You could actually. You could.
Okay.
I can teach your child some geometry by making different shapes, but an icosahedron, even for that matter. But
Yeah, I guess you could. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, there's a variety also called Will Fleming, which is not a dwarf, but it's a regular yaupon. It's kind of in between. And it's extremely narrow and upright. It gets about this big around, about as big around as my torso, I guess.
Okay.
And then straight up. Strictly vertical growing.
Hmm.
And it does very well in a bed close to the house because of that strict, narrow, upright habit.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep some stretch style in hand because it grows in parallel branches and they tend to veer outwards a little bit and look a little bit open. So you want to be prepared to refrain that from happening by kind of tying it together as it grows up.
Interesting.
So buy a ladder when you buy this one, too. You can prune off the competing leaders and just have a single leader on it, but ultimately it will have a tendency to grow multiple leaders on the Will Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very good, narrow, upright-growing yaupon holly. It does take a little bit of work. It's not like the upright Japanese holly or the Taylor juniper.
Which you can basically plant and ignore.
Ignore it, really. But this one needs a little bit of work. But it does have the versatility and the disease and insect resistance of a yaupon holly to go with it. And because of that, it's a pretty good plant. And probably one of the better forms of the dwarf yaupon holly is the micron.
We have talked about that, but not recently.
Yeah. The micron is one that grows very dense and very small. And it can have some winter kill problems here. But those typically are associated with not being watered properly in the winter.
Okay.
So if you don't want to water your plant, you might forget about the micron.
Well, we'll take it.
And there are some varieties of boxwood that are very small growing, the baby jade, and there are some others that they grow really quite small. So you might consider that instead of maybe the micron.
Okay. We'll take a break and wrap up this edition of Green Country Gardener. Still welcoming your phone calls, 800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400, and you would be the next caller on Green Country Gardener.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith, and I'd like to talk to you about a screening. No, not a movie screening, but a screening test for colorectal cancer. It could save your life. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It's almost time for the annual Interstate Farm and Home Show. Hi, I'm Tammy Brinkman, the sales manager at K-Rig. Business owners, let me tell you how you can put your business in front of 3,000 potential customers. The 2019 Interstate Farm and Home Show is Friday and Saturday, March 1st and 2nd at the Coffeyville Community College. We'll bring together the best goods and services in the region, and your business can play a big role. Come see what's new for today's home, farm, and business. You can feature your business in the show with many ways to participate. Spaces are available inside or out. Sign up today for the 2019 Interstate Farm and Home Show, March 1st and 2nd, brought to you by K-Rig, KGGF, and Bartlett Co-op. Call me, Tammy Brinkman, at K-Rig today, or visit interstatefarmandhomeshow.com for more information.
The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, talking about some ideas for the garden. Some of them you might want to use, and others be aware so that you don't use them.
Okay, we were talking about the dwarf yaupon holly, and they say, Larry, well, why would you specify a plant like this in the landscape? Why?
Why? What's the deal?
When it gets kind of big and kind of small, somewhat drought, somewhat...
I realize
in the wintertime.
Different houses will suggest different forms, and that,
Well, this is the reason why. It grows in part shade to part sun to full sun. So it'll grow a little bit of shade. It'll take some part sun. It'll grow in the full sun on the west side of the house.
Okay.
It'll grow out in the middle of a parking lot. It's tolerant to salt, which is a good thing, when especially close to sidewalks and public areas and whatnot.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem to be damaged by overuse of salt, well, ice melter in the wintertime. It'll tolerate extended flooding periods. In other words, usually when it rains here in the spring, it rains for like like a week at a time.
Once you get
the ground gets really wet,
it off. Yeah,
and you pull up these plants, and they're just rotted. But this will actually tolerate some extended flooding. It will tolerate acidic soils to slightly alkaline soils. Now that's a good key point in our neck of the woods here: slightly alkaline soils, because a parallel to this would be the Japanese holly, which doesn't tolerate that. So. If somebody really, really wants a Japanese holly, I'll get about double the amount and keep the rest of it at the nursery, because when their Japanese holly dies, we got more for you. So they do take the soil pH we have around here, and it'll grow in sandy soil, loamy soil, and clay soil. So its tolerance of conditions we have here in town is one reason why this one's very popular in this neck of the woods. Another issue is it's very drought tolerant.
We are no stranger to drought either.
No stranger to Noah's Ark rolling down the road and then cattle skulls falling thereafter. You want to place this one about 3 feet apart. And it's a zone 7 plant, but if you don't let it dry out in the winter, it does really quite well.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to cut this one back. if it's gotten too large. It can come back real well. It tolerates transplanting really well.
Good.
Because of its very fibrous root system. Important thing is, when it is transplanted, don't let it get dry, and don't try not to transplant it when the soil is dry, so the soil clings to the root mass really well. So if you get tired of it, just cut it back.
Okay.
And it'll come back.
I'm going to start going through the archives and getting your sound effects.
No, don't do that. No, but anyway, timing on the cutback is very important. If you wait until summertime to cut it back, it will kill it. But if you do it early in the spring, say before St. Patrick's Day, it'll do just fine. So you have to be very careful as to when this one's cut back severely.
Mm-hmm.
Partial cut back, just fine. It'll recover, but it'll takes a little bit longer to go. And another attribute, no pests or diseases.
Perfect.
So another negative aspect is it's kind of brittle.
Oh, okay.
So if you're walking around at night and you step on it, well, crunch.
I think I broke it.
Yeah, it is kind of brittle, but it does bounce back pretty quick from being broken up. And the people working on the windows or painting the house can crunch one or two of them, but they'll come back.
Okay.
Don't panic. They'll be just fine. Okay, so that's the Dwarf Yopan Holly, the Shrub of the Week. It's one of my favorites. I use it just for fill-in green or something, or somebody wants something green.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I like about this over, say, the boxwood, is it doesn't get the mites that the boxwoods have on the west side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have that smell that the boxwoods have.
Because it doesn't get the mites.
Doesn't get the mites. So,
it's worth considering then.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, what else are we doing in your houseplants? Winter is a slow time for houseplants, so don't try to encourage very much growth unless you plan to give them lots of light.
Yes.
So a lot of people's houses have this overhang on it, and it's light is very limited. So try not to encourage a lot of growth. So you water them sparingly and fertilize lightly, and Osmocote is a really good way to fertilize your houseplants. Because every time you water it, they just get a little bit of fertilizer in with the water.
Okay.
It's the Osmocote has these little spheres in it made of a semi-pervious membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets wet, there's fertilizer inside of this capsule. And when it gets wet, some of the fertilizer is dissolved in the water as it goes past. So it gives just a little bit of fertility every time you water. So it's good. So it's a really good long-term fertilization problem or solution.
And typically it lasts like 3 to 4 months, maybe up to 5, I don't know.
Yeah, it can last up to 4 months. Some of them 6 months, depending on how much water is given and how much you water and everything else. So anyway, that kind of covers some trees that I like, some trees that I don't like. And one of the favorite growing shrubs that I like to use in a landscape because of its tolerance of our conditions and its versatility and size and all that. Anyway, come by the nursery, see what we have. We've got a lot of house plants.
You mentioned it's a good time to select a tree because the tree growers are harvesting their trees now and getting them out to you.
Exactly. If you want a big old tree in your yard, now's the time to request one. And when you plant that, Charlie, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
That's Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning with Larry Glass.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.